Jesus, draw me closer, closer, Lord, to Thee. Let the world around me fade away, and Jesus, draw me closer, closer,
Scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that, Lord, we can come and gather like this, Lord, that there is still time, there is still freedom and liberty to do this. Lord, we don't know if or when that freedom might be taken, Lord, so, Lord, we should count it a privilege to be here, God, and Lord, we should not take it for granted, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you will bless us in your word this morning. Anoint me, Father, to bring your word. Anoint the ears of the hearer to hear it. You know our needs, Lord, and I pray, God, that you, Lord, will minister to the needs of your bride. We ask in Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'd like if you could turn with me your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, I want to begin reading at verse 13 through 19. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Amen. You may be seated. What I'd like to speak on this morning is the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. Now, these keys that Jesus said he was given to Peter, they were not physical keys, they were spiritual keys. And it would be a key of a something of a shared knowledge, enlightenment, an entrance. That's the whole purpose of a key, is to make an entrance. Be able to enter into somewhere that might be locked up. And it, in the natural speaking, it could be a physical key. It could be a key of knowledge. It could be sometimes in the military we use passwords. The thing I look at here is that Peter, as we so often have heard Brother Branham say, he was an unlearned man. History said he couldn't even write his own name. And then I wonder, well, then what would, out of all of them standing there, what would qualify Peter that Jesus would say to him, "I'm give you the keys of the kingdom"? It's because Peter had already used a key. Peter already knew how to use a key. He knew who Jesus was. He had the key or the revelation of who Jesus was. And so Jesus said, I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom. You know, Peter was one of the first ones to open an entrance to the Gentiles. How many remembers that? Amen. He was the first one to open an entrance to the Gentiles. Remember when he had the vision up on top of the rooftop, and the Lord was telling him, "Don't call unclean what I call clean, what I've cleaned." And so he opened the doors to the Gentile at that time. And remember, they said that, "How can we withhold water baptism, seeing as how they've received the same Holy Spirit that we did?" So there was as open. Peter opened unto the Gentiles. A key, to have a key, signifies that you have an entrance somewhere. In this case, it was the entrance to the revelation of God. Jesus said, because you have an entrance, I'm going to give you the keys. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11, verse 52. Jesus says, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hinder." Now, this wasn't legal lawyers such as we would think of today, but it was men who studied the Mosaic law, and therefore they were called lawyers. And he said, you don't want to enter through the door. And anyone that does want to enter through the door, you want to hinder them from going through it. That's why Jesus said, you take away the key of knowledge. The key of knowledge. There's different keys to different doors. You say, well, I have the key of faith. Why am I not getting healed? Are you using it right? Are you applying it correctly? You can have a key, but without the knowledge of the use of that key. To give you an example of that, one of the kids, I gave the keys to the back door to get in. And just so happens how we set those, we didn't do it intentionally, but how we set the locks in there. The one lock, the keys, the teeth face up, and the other one, the teeth face down. And so they were trying and trying. It was kind of dark out there, trying and trying to get the door open, couldn't get the door open, and they had the right key. But you had to turn the key the right way. What they needed was a little bit of knowledge. And we didn't turn on a light. We don't know light to turn on back there. But we just said, turn the key the other way. And it went in and unlocked the door. So that's what I mean by using the key right. You could say that, I've got keys and I need healing, deliverance, or finances, but they're not opening to me. Well, you got to use the right key for the right door. The key to the door over here on the side of the church won't fit that door in the back of the church. You got to have the right key for the right door. You turn with me to Revelation chapter 9. I don't know how quickly I can get through this morning, but we'll just preach as far as we can get. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as a smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. Brother Adam says this in Key in the Door, said, this angel came down from heaven having a key in his hand. And a key is a purpose of a key is to unlock something that's been locked up or something that should be locked up, but a key is given for a purpose. Now, what he had here was this angel had a spiritual key to unlock. It was a key to another realm, a key to another dimension. If you can recall back in the Antediluvian age, the angel Woodworm was given the key to the waters. And he unlocked the waters of the heaven and unlocked the waters of the earth, and the earth was flooded over. He's going to use that key again. You see, how do you know about this? He's going to use it again. He's named in Revelations. He's going to use it again to turn the waters bitter during the time of the tribulation. You can find that in Revelations 8, 9, and 8, 10, and 11. Brother Brown says here in Key in the Door, preached in 62, said, we take like the key to knowledge. Now, a man has to if he's trying to accumulate knowledge. Now, there's a key to that. There's a way that this man has to open up. He has to get his books and his learning. No one can learn him. They might teach him, but he has to learn. And the only way that it can be done, he has to catch that key, that something in there that unfolds or reveals to him the knowledge that he is seeking. He goes on to say, and there are people who would like to try to play a piano or music. They might take lesson after lesson, and they'd never learn it. They just cannot hold that key to that mystery, how the rhythm and the sounds and the tuning and so forth rings out. It takes a key. Now, the key, for instance, in this way of to music, to just show you how much of a key that it is, there's people that will take lessons to learn how to play, and they'll learn how to play through lessons. Some of them will learn how to play by reading music. If you got up and sung a song that they didn't have the music to, they'd be lost. They couldn't play for you. But you take a person who can also hear it. Now you could get up and start singing a song and they could play what they're hearing. Many of y'all know Sister Tasha, Brother Carlos' wife, Brother Jules' daughter. She never took a lesson in her life. She came up, had hands laid on her, and they prayed for her to play the piano, and she went over and played the piano. Now, God gave her the key to it. Amen. I believe there's things, gifts and different talents and things that we're born with that God gives us when we're born. And we have to give an account for how we use them. Amen. Brother Branham says this is another, it's in the same message. He says, mathematics, there's a key to mathematics. You just have to get the hang of it. I've seen men that could take four rows of figures, put their fingers on each row and run down them and tell you six figures deep the answer at the bottom. He said, figuring four rows at a time. He says, well, I'd have a hard time figuring one row at a time. He said, I just never could find that key. There's some people, children you see in school, there's some have no trouble with math. There's others, they'll work at it and work at it and work at it, and you could take a book and pound them over the head with it, and they just ain't got it. They can't seem to get that key to math. To somebody else that has the key, they look and say, well, this is simple. You know, they say, well, I could do them figures in my head. Well, they got the key to it. There's a key to science. I've seen where when my children, the older ones, were being taught at home, they got into A couple of them got into the subject of physics, and I got all excited. They hated it. And I loved it because it was math. And to me, it's math and science put together. It's not only tells you what something is, but you can actually work it out and see why it is that way. But I took that when I went to school, and I liked it, but they didn't like it. There's a key to every, just to give you, there's a key to every subject in school. I have found that out. There's a key to every subject. There's a key to everything you got to learn. There's a certain key of knowledge to those things. And a person could possess the key to one, but not to the other one. They might know, for instance, they might know science and could possess that key, but then when it came to social studies or mathematics or even English, they're out. Sometimes we say it this way. They have an interest in this particular subject. That's the way we'll say it. And another one will say, well, they don't have an interest in that. Well, you can't be interested in something that just seems like a bunch of jumble to you. It's like trying to teach a child to read for the first time. Those words and letters and everything, they mean nothing to them. The first way a child learns to read is through memory. Before they even recognize the words, they remember this picture on this page, you say these things to it. And you take a little child that you've read a children's book to, well, they'll go through that book and they'll read it by looking at the pictures. And they've heard you read it to them so much, they remember what it's supposed to say. It isn't until later they start to actually associate the words at the bottom of the page with what they're saying. There are some people that you can take and show them serpent seed and pop, they see it. There's some people you can take and show them water baptism and it just clicks and they see it. There's other people you can take, you can hand them the key, you can loan them your key, you can unlock it for them, you can do stand on your head and they can't see it. They're just not able to handle that key. They don't have that revelation. Some people say, well, I gave them books and tapes. That's not keys. Well, I gave them a Bible. That's not the key. You need keys to unlock what's in here. Amen. You can highlight it for them. Many people have Bibles, but don't have the keys. Brother Branham talks about in the same message in 62, he talks about Walt Disney. If you've read this message, you'll remember him talking about Walt Disney. Said that he just knew he had something. He went to try to write comic strips and took them to an editor and they turned him down, told him, you just ain't got it. You ain't got it. That's exactly what they told him. You ain't got it. So he visited several different places. He was out in Kansas. He visited several different editors in different places and newspapers and so on. And everywhere he went, they just tell him, you haven't got it. You just ain't got it. And then said he finally got a job writing for a Christian newspaper, writing a little comic strip. And so he went and rented a garage. And this garage was so infested with mice that said that the mice would even get in his bed. And he got to noticing a particular mouse and how it acted in that. And that was from what the idea born of Mickey Mouse. And the man who they told didn't have it, had it and became a multimillionaire. He definitely had a key to something. Amen? But he didn't give up. That's the thing. Many times we've got a key, but we give up. You got to have the key set just right in the lock. You just can't give up. You got to keep at it. Don't quit. They had the disease of polio that was striking the United States. And there was a Christian man named Salk that got to studying and came up with the vaccine. They called it the Salk vaccine. And that prevented polio. See, there was a key somewhere. Science kept at it. They said that there was, like you've seen, done at different places. They done for donations, people to give donations to go toward the science of figuring out how to combat polio. And said, Brother Branham says in the message, said they had firemen and everything else standing out in street corners begging money to go toward this. He said because the hospitals was filled up with children that were had got the disease of polio. And Brother Branham quotes one doctor in Louisville saying, he said, a few years ago when the great plague of hit Louisville, if men would have stood where I did and saw 57 respirators at one time, men, women, boys, and girls paralyzed with the disease called polio, and there was nothing to be done about it, I never want to see that thing like that again. But they kept persevering until they unlocked knowledge to combat this great evil. You say, well, I have a need of a key today. I need healing. Or I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The key lay somewhere. You say, well, what's wrong? I don't think I have the key. You ever had a ring of keys? I didn't bring my keys out here with me. You ever had a ring of keys that had so many keys on it that after a while you forgot what some of them were for? And you look at the key and say, now, what is this key to? And you take that key around, you try to find what that key belongs to, and you'll say, for the life of me, I can't remember what this thing belongs to. Sometimes people will make a drawer. They'll take a drawer, and in that drawer, they'll throw old keys that they can't remember what they go to. And they won't get rid of them because they go to something. So throw them in a drawer. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, maybe you've got the keys to what you have need of, but you just forgot what key goes to what. Maybe you've haven't used the key in so long, you've tossed it off into a spiritual drawer somewhere. And say, well, I'm not going to get rid of it, but I don't know what it goes to. By his stripes we are healed. That lets me know there's a key to healing. Brother Ram says here, if there is such an evil as polio, diphtheria, smallpox, yellow fever, typhus, lockjaw, and so forth, that signs those evils that have been able to fight day and night till they found an inoculation from it, because it's evil, it's a killer. How much more is there a key to salvation for a man that's in a prison house of sin? There's a key to that door to liberate that man from it. So a key usually is the note of something or the way to enter something that's worthwhile. The key that is for it unlocks something that's worthwhile. He says, sometimes I Sometime I'd like to come to Shreveport, where we could be just about 2 or 3 weeks and just take 30 minutes a night just on teaching and stay right in the Word. These secret passages, see, where we could find out just how to get in. There's only one key to each door. This is in God's provided place of worship, he says this. That's right, and no other key, no matter how much it looks like it, you've got to have the key or the door won't unlock. No matter how sincere you are, you can't unlock the door without the key. You heard people say, well, I come ever so sincere. I can tell you this, those keys just don't get handed out just willy-nilly. I've had people tell me, I've been so sincere, and you can see what seems like the sincerity. But there's something back in their life, somewhere that they're hanging on to. And it's that thing right there that's hindering them from going through that door. No matter how sincere they want to go through that door, unless they turn loose of whatever that is. It's like, you know what the eye of the needle is? It's a passageway that was over in Jerusalem. And Jesus said it's easier for a camel to enter the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Remember him saying that? Well, they said, many of you know this, they'd have to unload the camel, pack their goods through that entrance. The camel would have to get down on its knees and crawl through that entrance. Then they have to load the camel back up. And he said, it's easier to do that than a rich man to enter into heaven. Why? It don't mean there ain't going to be no rich people saved. But I'll tell you this, is there money holding them back? It did one in the Bible. He said, I've kept the commandments from my youth. Jesus said, go sell all you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. He was hanging on to something. The key was presented to him. How can I have eternal life? The key, Jesus presented the key. Not only that, Jesus put the key in the lock for him. But he was hanging on to something he just couldn't let go of, and he had to let go of that before he could go through that door. I'll tell you what, I like that song where it says, I don't want to own one thing that I can't leave behind. If you're fighting temptation, by his stripes I'm healed, is not the right key to fight temptation with. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He used the right key for the right situation. If you're in an hour of temptation, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet's not the right key to overcome the temptation. I've got all the books and tapes. Sorry, that ain't the key to overcome temptation. The devil doesn't care how much knowledge of the message you have. I see people at times get all seem puffed up and lifted up with what they think the knowledge of the message they have. The devil don't care how much knowledge you have. I can tell you this. There's some here this morning that a few were in Brother Branham's meetings, but the majority of the people here were never in Brother Branham's meetings. But I can tell you who was there. The devil. So don't try to tell him what you know about the message. (Laughs) He knows the message too. He uses the quotes as well. That's what he did in the days of Jesus. He said, he was quoting out of the scripture, the law. He has give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash that foot against a stone. He was quoting Bible. The devil, I'm saying it again, the devil don't care how much knowledge you have of the Bible or of this message. But if you've got the key, it'll unlock the door for you. Amen. Many people try to use their knowledge to open the door with. In the hour of temptation, saying, well, I believe God sent a prophet, is not going to open the door for you to get away from that temptation. Say, what key could I use, Brother Jerry? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But see, there's another part to that key. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. There's a lot of people that resist and resist and resist and resist and don't get nowhere because they haven't submitted themselves to God. First, you got to submit your way and yourself to God. Then after you've done that, then you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Why? Because it's not you, but it's the power that is within you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It's that power within that withstands the devil. The devil can't fight that. No wonder Jesus said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What was the revelation of God's word? That's what he built his church upon. The devil can't combat revelation. He can give people delusions and they'll think it's a revelation. But a revelation won't hold in one part in the Bible and not hold throughout the whole thing. Many people think they got the key to water baptism, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. No, that's just one scripture. That's one scripture that from there to unlock and open to you water baptism. But Peter, the one who had the keys to the kingdom, showed you how to use that key of water baptism, of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Baptizing therefore in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Said, be baptized, every one of you. That's why those men that they come down there that time and found these men, they said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we have not heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. And they said, how are you baptized? They said, we are baptized under John's baptism. And he commanded them to be baptized again. Why? Because the promise of the Holy Ghost, John was baptizing merely for cleansing, and it was the whole purpose of John doing that was so that the Lamb of God could walk down there and be washed prior to going to give his life. That was the whole purpose. But then, Jesus then says later, that you are to be baptized. And he didn't say baptized unto John. Revelation said be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Peter took that key, turned it in the lock, and they said, these men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's about the third hour of the day, but said this is that which was spoke of by the prophet Joel. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and said, then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when they found out that they didn't even know what the Holy Ghost said, we never even heard there be a Holy Ghost, said, how were you baptized? What was it? Right away they knew there was had to be a problem with the baptism, because if they were baptized right, they would receive the Holy Ghost. That's scriptural. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says here again in 62, said, that hand, that man, that woman can take the key of faith and can unlock every promise God made. But if you haven't got the key, you're just probing. You'll never unlock it. You'll beat against it because this key, any correct made key, has levers on the inside of the lock and makes a certain form and a certain shape of them keys turns those levers. And just one little lever out of the way will mess up the whole thing. How many of you has ever went and had a key made for like your house or whatever, and you go back home and try to use that key and it won't work? And they copied it off your key. But somewhere, one of them little shapes on there didn't come out right. And because it didn't come out right, it won't turn all the levers in that lock and open that door. You say, well, I paid good money for this key. Doesn't matter. You might as well throw it away. They can't fix it. Amen. It can't be fixed. Throw it away and start over. There's a lot of people that they've got keys through the ministry of other preachers, and they still try to use those keys. But those keys got the wrong shape on them. And what they want to do is try to fix that key to work. I don't want to let go of it. I want to fix it to work. You can't fix it to work. It was wrong to start with. Throw it away. Go back and get another copy made of your key. Brother Graham says, a key cannot unlock the door until it's used by a hand. Got to have something to use the key. The key itself cannot use itself. That's why packing around a Bible will not unlock everything for you, because you're carrying something that ain't being used or used properly. Like I said, somebody's suffering from temptation. Let's say somebody wants to be delivered from some vice of this world. Well, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, ain't going to deliver them from that vice. But there's scripture that will bring deliverance. There is a key to that deliverance. And I'll tell you this, you ask somebody that's been delivered once, is there a key to deliverance? And they'll tell you, yes, there is. Tell you, when you've been delivered, you know you've been delivered. Brother Ram said, it's like this microphone. He said, this microphone can't use itself. He said, it has to be somebody speak through that microphone. And then he says, a microphone is like the ministry. He said, they're just a transmitter. They transmit the voice of God that's speaking through them to the ears of the hearer. That's what Brother Ram said. He said the key's got to be in the right hand. It's got to be, only one hand can hold this key, and that's the hand of faith. That's the only thing can hold this key. Now back to Jesus giving Peter the keys of the kingdom. Brother Branham says, they said he was ignorant, unlearned. He didn't have enough education to sign his own name. This is in Having Conferences, 1960. He said he didn't have enough education to sign his own name, yet was left with the keys of the kingdom. How God does things, if that isn't wonderful. Yes, sir, God gave him the keys and told him, what you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. And he couldn't even sign his own name. No, sir. What a man to leave the keys with. And it wasn't so from the beginning. He says Peter couldn't write his own name, but it pleased Jesus to give him the keys of the kingdom because of his revelation. Amen. He says again, in letting off the pressure, he said, when St. Peter came to him, just an old, rude, crude fisherman. We're told he didn't even have enough education to write his own name, but yet it pleased God to give him the keys of the kingdom. That's right. Because of his faith, he had a revelation of who he was. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. I'm thankful for that. He built his church on something the gates of hell couldn't prevail against. How do I know that my pastor is not a false anointed one? How do I know my pastor is actually God sent, God called? Don't look at the anointing. A lot of people look at the anointing. I had somebody tell me one time, was referring to a young man minister, and said, well, he preaches with a lot of anointing. I heard the young man preach, and I said, excitement's not anointing. He got all excited when he preached. But that's not the anointing. But you can take one that gets under the anointing. The very man I'm talking about, he doesn't even follow the message anymore. How do I know? Don't go. The anointing can fall on hypocrites and devils. But look at the keys that he has. Look at the keys he has. Is he able to unlock the doors that you need open to enter through in this word? Those secret passages that Brother Branham talked about. Look at the revelation God has committed, the keys God's committed to him. I'll further back that up here in a moment. By the life of Christ, it reveals Peter must have had, he was standing right there with the keys of the kingdom of heaven in his hand. The kingdom is the Holy Ghost. Hanging on his side, the keys of the kingdom. In other words, the revelation. Now, what did he say the kingdom was? The Holy Ghost. So for you to receive the Holy Ghost under any given ministry, that ministry has to have the keys to the kingdom. If there's people that has received the Holy Ghost under that ministry, that man has the keys. Because he's unlocked that to the people. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says, false teachers brings false births. What is it? Because the keys they got, they don't open the true revelation of, and receive the Holy Ghost. You know, it's like this. Maybe, like I said, something holding you back from entering through. So for instance, let's say that somebody has got bitterness in their heart and they're holding on to that bitterness. And it's been preached to them everything they need to know to enter through and to receive the Holy Ghost, but they got that bitterness. Then let somebody, the pastor, come and preach on bitterness and deliver that individual from bitterness, and you'll see him go right through that door and receive the Holy Ghost. That's truth. Let him get up and put a picture of the Hatfields and McCoys up sometime. I remember when I preached that message, I told Mina, I said, I got to come up with something that's going to get their attention this morning. And I just kept studying, and there was some news that was in about the Hatfields and McCoys having their annual softball game. That's the truth. And they were having their annual softball game. They get together and play. And I saw that, and it just gave me an idea, and I went and found a picture of the Hatfields and found another one of the McCoys and put that up that day. Well, it got the attention. If it didn't get the attention of everybody, it got the attention of one man, and he's testified about it many times. Hallelujah. There was There was a preacher that come to visit us one time, first time he come to visit us, and he had heard different things, you know, said about me, and wasn't sure. Certain situations had been brought up to him if I'd handled them, not situations in the church here, but situations with my family. And wasn't sure whether I'd handled them right or not because of things that had been said. Then he come through and his car broke down. And he needed a ride. He needed a ride from the motel where he was staying into church. So Brother Horner went out and picked him up in his car and brought him to church. Afterwards, I took him home and he told me, he said, "You know what that man said about you?" And I said, "What?" He said, "All the years that he'd been under the prophet," he said, "but it wasn't until he was under your ministry he received the Holy Ghost." And he said, "That resolves any questions I had about you." Whew. Heard a song this morning. And it was talking about people being held down by this flesh and how Satan likes to point out the flesh of others to try to hold you down into this realm, into this earth. But it said if you can get past that and realize there's something down in the heart that when he hears the word, it says amen. Hallelujah. Brother Ram says here, and this is in questions and answers, said, I say that you're Peter and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom because you got a spiritual open channel between here and heaven. The key, this is in Key in the Door, 62, says, the key that locks, unlocks too. You can loosen or bind, that's right. The same key that locks, unlocks. The same key that binds will loosen. That's exactly because it works both ways. The treasure's behind the door, and they're locked up out of sight from the unbeliever. But the believer who has the faith to take the key of faith and unlock those doors, it opens up to them. Some of those doors are just, the reason they can't use them is because they're just doors of simplicity. Isn't that what Brother Ram said? He said, God hides himself in simplicity and reveals himself in the same. Now, Brother Ram speaking here, this is in a message of Entombment, preached in 57. He's talking about when Jesus came in Book of Revelations and stood there and said, "I have the keys of death and of hell." And he said he didn't have the keys of the kingdom then because he had given them to Peter. We got onto that in warning and water baptism. But he had the keys to death and hell. And he took them after his resurrection. He said, "I got the keys of death and hell." Peter had the keys of the kingdom. Satan had the keys of death and hell. But now Jesus has got them. He's boss. Remember when Peter denied that he even knew the Lord? And remember in the scripture how it was when he said, when Jesus arose, he said, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." He named Peter out by name. And I've said before, it's because Peter, he didn't know if he'd went too far. Maybe he wasn't even worthy now. But the thing is, Jesus said, he still got those keys. Go tell my key man to reach down at his side. The keys are still hanging there. Though you made mistakes, though you have failed, it didn't take away your keys. You still got the keys you need. No matter of mistakes and failures and faults and failures and you're falling, it doesn't matter. The keys are still there.
just reach down, grab those keys and turn it back in the lock and see it not and open it again. Whew, take that, devil. A few months ago, I couldn't even preach. But I didn't lose the keys. Brother Branham says this in Question and Answers Hebrews. Now watch, Peter, you got the keys hanging on your side. You're preaching. Question comes, men and brethren, what can we do? Peter stood up and said, repent, every one of you. Look out, boy, the way you place those keys here, Christ will place it in heaven. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now that's how you get into this. For the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The keys went in click here and went click up there. That's the reason John's disciples had to come and be rebaptized again in the name of Jesus Christ before they could get into heaven, get the Holy Ghost. He kept his word, so don't confuse you now, does it? Certainly, Matthew 28:19 was titles, not names. It says in God testifying of his gifts, said, Almighty God bless this woman whom I bless in thy name. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. What you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. The keys were given unto the church. In thy loving kindness, I'm almost finished. In thy loving kindness, said, I challenge the devil in Jesus' name. Satan, you're stripped of all the rights that you ever had. When Jesus died at Calvary, he gave us the keys to the kingdom. And you have no legal right on our bodies, in our bodies any longer. We adjure thee in the name of Jesus Christ, leave every sick person here, every crippled person, every blind person, every deaf person, every lame person, every sick person, everyone, leave. In Jesus' name, I ask you to go. Then he says to the people, stay shut in. I'll tell you what. This man knew how to use the keys. Whew. You ever get to doubting your faith? I'm not talking about what you believe. I'm talking about doubting the amount of faith you have. Well, I don't have enough faith for me to, I got this sickness on me and I don't got enough faith. You got all the faith you need. Brother Branham said, when God fills a man with the Holy Ghost, he puts everything he has need of for the journey in him right then, he said, including the rapture. This is key of the door again. He said, when you've got the key, there's no fear, there's no doubt, there's no question. You don't have to ask anybody else about it. You know exactly. You've got it in your hands. You know what to do, amen? You know what the score is. You know the door is going to unlock. You've checked the levers, and you know it's strictly the right thing. The door is going to fly open when you throw the key in it. Oh, if the church only possessed the keys, if the church would only possess that key of faith, we could unlock any door, any sickness, any plague, any cause that there is. It could be unlocked to us if we only possess this key. This man had the key to his calling. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. You've got what you have need of. You got the keys. Don't let Satan lie to you and tell you, you know, I don't think you got them. If you had them, why? Why you still got this? Why are you still suffering from diabetes if you've got the key of faith? Maybe we're just not using the key right. See, how's that? Well, I can tell you how I don't use the key right. I can't give up sweets. Amen. Simple as that. Give up sweets and starches and all those different things, and I'd get the diabetes down where I wouldn't have to take no medicine for it. I need to get to use that key right before it gets down to you to have dialysis. Then you're at death's door. It ain't long. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day, Lord. Lord, we're thankful for your word and that you've spoke to us, Lord, and how that you make it ever so real to us, dear Lord. Break it down and make it so simple, Lord. The different analogies and examples, Lord, as the prophet would use just simple things to get across the message to the people. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for just the simple things. I'm thankful for the simplicity of the gospel. Lord, the gospel can't be approached through a knowledge of this world, a knowledge that obtained in the schools. It can't be approached that way. Lord, it has to be approached through the mind of Christ, the knowledge of God. Lord, I ask you bless your people, Lord. Strengthen them today. I pray that the words, Lord, that were preached today, Lord, would stay with them, Lord. And Lord, would give them help throughout the coming days ahead. We ask your blessings on them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing "The More That I Surrender."
The more that I let me dance.
sing We've Been Made More Than Conquerors.
We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made
done. God is good.
Dismiss this time lever for the politics.